Welcome to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast for women of faith in business looking to take their careers or businesses to the next level without compromising their faith. If you're ready to begin taking action on your entrepreneurship goals, learn tips, tools, and strategies to execute consistently and manifest the life of your dreams, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Halima de Oliveira, business strategist, three-time author, using the fusion of faith and finances to lead female-led e-commerce brands to six and seven-figure revenue targets annually. Ready? Let's work. Tune into today's episode, Already in Progress. Welcome back to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast. This is episode 63, Beyond the Single Muslim Story. Jamila Tompkins Bigelow is a Philadelphia-based educator and children's book author with a master's in education, a curriculum writer, and former English teacher. She has educated children and teens in traditional and alternative learning settings for 15 years. As an inaugural Emma Fellow with the Muslim Anti-Racism Collaborative, Muslim ARC, she developed foundational curricular frameworks for youth and adult anti-racist programming. Her picture books and short stories, which feature young Black and Muslim protagonists, have been recognized as the best in children's literature by Time Magazine, Read Across America, and NPR. These works include Mommy's Khimar, Once Upon an Eid, Anthology Contributor, and Your Name is a Song, as well as soon-to-be-released books, Abdul's Story and Hold Them Close. Inshallah, please welcome our guest, Jamila Tompkins Bigelow.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you. Thank you so much. It was just a very warm welcome. I'm doing very well today.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So again, grateful to have you. And, you know, please tell the audience a little bit more about yourself and, you know, just what have you been up to, you know, for the last few years, inshallah.
Sure. So you gave me a very good intro in terms of, you know, I mainly am doing writing children's books now. I do some of that curriculum writing and some of the education stuff. But my main focus has been creating books for that center Black and Muslim children. And I started that work just because, really because my own children didn't have a lot of books at the time that represented their identity, that, you know, reflected families like their own. And I just wanted them to have more of those books. And I love children's books. I've always loved them. And so, yes, like I have Your Name is a Song, Mommy's Khimar, the upcoming book. I just want to kind of show you this one because this one is, and thank you so much for purchasing it. But this one's Abdul's Story. And it comes out in like a couple months, March 2022, about a little boy who has so many wonderful stories to tell about his Black Muslim community, but he doesn't feel comfortable writing them down in writing class because, you know, his handwriting is messy, he has problems with spelling, and he just feels like he can't tell his own story. So this is really about him telling his own story in the book. And I have a few upcoming books. Hold Them Close and a Love Letter to Black Children is not ready for pre-order yet, but it will be in February. And that's when we're going to release the cover. And I should tell you, that cover is so beautiful. You know, I'm just, alhamdulillah, it's a blessing. I got to work with a fine artist, Patrick Doer. And for the work that he did, he wanted to actually work with a photographer as well, create art around the photography. And the photographer is Jamel Shabazz, who is an amazing photographer as well. So they kind of put their stuff together and, you know, illustrated the book. And I'm just like, subhanAllah, you know, it brings me tears looking at it. I'm so anxious to be able to share this cover and share the artwork because it's lovely.
MashaAllah, you know, may Allah grant you tawfiq and everything that you're doing. Like I said in the beginning, I'm a fan for sure. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit really quickly about the covers of your book and even the illustrations in your book. That's also, you know, something that is unique to you, I feel, especially as, you know, a Muslim, you know, children's writer. So I'm referring to you. Sometimes you incorporate the Muslim aspect in your stories and sometimes not right? You know, like in your work, kind of, right? So, you know, can you talk about that a little bit? Why are the administration so important? And then, who you work with too. Why is that so important, do you feel, to the book writing?
Right. Well, I mean, I do try to incorporate elements of my identity, period. So, like, even a book that might not feel very Muslim, I do put little hints and little things in there to try to kind of, because this is still a book for Black Muslim children. And when it comes to the illustrations, so I've been blessed to work with some wonderful illustrators, and I really just want beautiful depictions of Black Muslim kids. That's my major. That's been my major thing, and Black Muslim families as well. I, have typically worked with publishers to pick out illustrators. For me, it's often important that an illustrator shares an identity with what is being featured in the book. So, with for example, Mommy's Kimar, right? This book here. And sorry, the screen is flipped, so I'm like a little off. But this book here, this was illustrated by an African American woman, a Black woman, Ebony Glenn. And I love that because, she really depicted a very beautiful Black family in this story. I've really wanted to work with illustrators that are women of color. So I had For Your Name Is a Song, Luisa Uribe comes from Colombia, and this book celebrates names from all across the world, including Latinx names, Asian, Arab, African, Black American, all kinds of names. And so I wanted someone, a woman of color, to do this one. And then this one, another Black woman, Tiffany Rose, did this one, and I just her illustrations of Black children and children of color. So this story really depicts a community of color, and she just does an amazing, amazing job of depicting children, from this community. Just giving you guys a sneak peek. So yeah, and it's just look at her illustrations of young children. So that was really beautiful. I have a picture book coming out in 2023 called Salat in Secret, about a little boy who wants to pray in school. Or he wants to pray all his five prayers. He just got a salat rug, his own salat rug. He wants to pray all his five prayers, but one salat happens during the school day, and he is too shy to ask for a place to pray. So he is trying to sneak and find places to pray. And so I have a Muslim man, a male editor, Hatem Ali, who's really wonderful, a New York Times bestselling, illustrator. And he's going to be doing those illustrations. And I can't wait to see him. I haven't seen him yet, so I'm excited.
That is, so beautiful and so necessary. And it's part of the conversation that, I want to have with you today. So perfect segue. I watched one of your previous events that you did, and it was like a Beyond the Single Muslim Story. And I wanted that to be the title of this episode for a few reasons. So the first reason, of course, is, there's a picture that is painted of us, both in the literary world and both in, just the world in general, right? Just media in general. And so, that title, it could go in so many different, directions. So what does it mean to you to go beyond the single Muslim story? And how do you, I feel like you already alluded to it, but maybe there's a specific thing that you want to say. What does it mean to you to go beyond the single Muslim story? And one of the things that I love and I have to point out is that the main characters in your book are Black and Muslim. And so, for me, when I say go beyond the single Muslim story, for me, I feel like there was no representation when I was growing up. So I feel like I'm in that, I'm in my 40s. So I'm in that generation that more than likely I'm either, together with my peers, a first generation or a second generation, Muslim, here in the United States. And, it's just like, this is all that we saw us growing up. There were definitely no books like what you're writing right now. And I just think about, how things would be a different with regards to representation had I had a book by Jamila Tompkins Bigelow, right? So, inshallah, please, what does it mean to you to go beyond the single Muslim story? And what should we as the audience know, inshallah? Someone said they love your books, by the way.
Oh, thank you. For me, it's writing authentically, right? So writing authentic stories, and it's really tapping into the fact that, yeah, I did not have representation when I was coming up. I did not have books that represented my identity. And often what I do is I write the books that young Jamila would have wanted to read. So it's very much that, and I really focus in on the stories that she wants to hear. I'm talking about myself in the third person, but that's really what I do. And when I write stories authentically, that pushes back on the inauthentic stories. And the inauthentic stories are really the story that, like, I guess, the mainstream media, Hollywood, the industry, publishing industry is really interested in when it comes to Muslims. And I guess the single story is that, there's an oppressed Muslim woman. From this, she's not black. She's like some kind of conflated brown identity. And so Eastern or Orientalist, in the way that they see them. And she's definitely an immigrant. Her life's mission is to please make white people pleased with her. And yeah, like and often the males in her life are abusive. They don't have, no sensitivity, no nuance. And really, maybe she's trying to get out from underneath this oppressive culture that she is coming from. And so that's like that single story that's been kind of superimposed on us again and again and again. And so for me, it's, opening up the different possibilities and the actual truths about our identities, because Muslims are so diverse. We are close to 2 billion in the world. There's so many of us, right? So we have so many different kinds of stories and identities. And even within the American context, people think of us as immigrants, and a lot of us are immigrants. My mother is an immigrant, right, to this country. But my father, he's a convert to Islam. I know a lot of Muslims who are third, fourth generation Muslims in this country. A lot of enslaved people were brought here who were Muslim, and traces of their background are here. Even when we think about immigrant populations, right? A lot of them have been here. Like their grandparents. You have people. Grandparents came from, South Asia or the Middle East, and so they don't even see themselves in that same way. And it doesn't mean that the immigrant story is not important. That's important too. But even that story needs nuance, right? And so pushing back and giving and actually filling in, putting the authenticity, of our own experiences, I think is what you do to push back on that single Muslim story.
Mashallah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that storytelling is healing. Storytelling is pulling back from even our history. I love your talk track, just now, just talking, just bringing back that history and bringing it forward. Because although we think of things, oh, that happened in the past, we kind of should forget about it, but that leaves an imprint on us. And the way that we express ourselves, like even the way that we express ourselves today, we can trace it back to our ancestry. I'm looking at your hijab right now, right? We can trace, I mean, look at the patterns on that. We can trace that back to history. So there's so much that we could just start to unpack with regards to books and having representation, et cetera. But my next question is, why is it important for us to tell our stories, whether they're fiction or nonfiction?
I think it's a part of the human experience, right? That's we learn from story and we heal from stories, and we can also be hurt by stories, right? We can all The stories can also be, especially when we talk about like single stories and stories that maybe inflict pain or maybe violent on our identities, right? And so we have to think about, I think we do need to consider that, right? That, our children, our adults maybe need stories that heal. Like you said, stories heal because they have had other stories. but also just the recognition that that's a part of what it means to be human. That's a part of what it means to learn. The first things that, you know, we give kids, the first ways that we have children learn is through story. So yeah. Did I?
Mashallah. So the next question that I have is, you know, what are three tips to get started for all the aspiring authors out there? So a lot of what we do here on the podcast is we not only, you know, of course, you know, talk about specific topics, have guests on, but we also want to be a resource for people. So what are three tips to get started for all of the aspiring authors out there, inshallah?
So the first thing I would say is to read a lot. I think you should be reading a lot in multiple genres. And I think you should be really even reading more of the genre you want to write. You should be reading a lot of contemporary books, you know, books within 5 years, from the genre that you're interested in writing. You know, it's very important to know what's out there, you know, what holes you're filling, how your work fits within the genre. It's also important to know, like, what readers of the genre like, you know, what are they reading? What are they enjoying? So, you know, do a lot of reading, a lot of learning about your genre. And again, and also, I mean, reading about it, learning about the genre, you know, Google, there's a lot of stuff on Google now that wasn't there, you know, 10 years ago, right? Where you can get on and you can learn about, you know, the genre and the expectations of it. Even if you want to push back on industry expectations, you know what they are, you know what you're pushing back on. So that's my number one thing is read. And then I think the second thing I would say, and I had my ideas in mind beforehand because you gave me this question. Now I'm trying to think what it is that I wanted. So, but to tell everyone, So you need to get ready. You need to prepare yourself for critique. You need to get used to the idea that people will take apart your work, will reject your work, will leave reviews that aren't that positive about your work. And so you need to kind of build up a tough skin. You need to maybe build up rituals for yourself in terms of that so that you're able to separate yourself from the work. Because oftentimes when you're getting critiques, you know, which you should be doing before you like try to publish a book, right? That you're getting critiques, people are just trying to help you to create the best book ever, you know, that you can create. But sometimes we can take that very personally because this is hard work. These stories come from our hearts, right? So, you know, being able to separate yourself from the work and keep pushing forward. If you're getting into traditional publishing, like I did, a lot of rejections. And so you have to, you know, set yourself up for that and be able to still be resilient and still keep putting out the work and know that your work is important. So that's another thing that I would say. And one more thing, I'm going to say, because there's so many tips, so I'm trying to think, like, what is the most important thing that you have to do? So here's one thing I would say. Decide on who your target audience is, right? And it can be different for every book, right? But decide on who that is. There's a saying, you can try to please everyone and please no one at all. And that's really what I mean by that, right? You can decide that I'm trying to write a book for everybody, but you really can't write your best book if you do that. You really have to be like, this is who I want, I'm writing this book for, right? I'm writing my book for Black Muslim children. Sometimes I'm writing books for little Jamila, and that's very targeted and very focused. But what you find is that when you target it and focus it, there are a lot of people who can relate and connect, that your very specific experience is universal on many levels. So don't try to write a book that, well, I want all the kids to love this book, or I want all the women to love this book. Think about the woman you want to love that book and write to her.
Mashallah, you know, and I think, you know, I write in a different, you know, genre, but, you know, I feel like when I tried to write the book that every woman, you know, would love, I was not true to myself. I was not true to, one, the story that I wanted to tell, and then, you know, two, to who I am, right? You know, I'm faulted, you know, I have all these different, you know, quirks, and, you know, when I'm myself, and I bring that personality, out, that's when I get more people saying, man, I can relate to, you know, that, story. And I'm so glad that you brought this out. This was not a planned question, but I do want to kind of go in this vein just a little bit, because there are a lot of women that I meet along my journey, and I'm sure you do in the space that you're in, that want to write a book, that have, you know, this dream of writing a book, whatever type of book that it is. But you know, they may have been sitting on the idea for 7, 10, 15, 20 years. What is the thing that would you say triggers you to say, you know what, I'm going to write this? And I do want to point out how many books, this is in, I want to say, 5 years of what I've known you. All of these books have come out within a 5 year span, right?
Yes. My first was
Mashallah.
out in 2018, so 3 years,
Mashallah. Even better, 3 years. Mashallah, right? So please, you know, what was that thing that switch, that click that said, you know what, I have to do this now and not be concerned with, you know, I may come out with 2 or 3 books in a year.
Wow, it's hard. There are so many different things that kind of played into that, right? So when I started writing children's books, I needed creative space, and I needed that creative space because, I was going through a lot of difficult things, challenging things. My job was difficult. I had just recently been diagnosed with an illness, so I was dealing with that. I was very tired. Chronic illness, all of these different things that I was dealing with. And then I had, my young children that I wanted to tell these stories to. And I loved, loved, loved children's books. I love the children's books that I share with the students in my classrooms. And I love the children's books that I was reading at home. And that was like a place, a ray of light for me. So that was one of those things. And I mean, it was really interesting. I tried when I was going through the difficult time, I tried all kinds of different writing. I was writing, novels for adults and poetry and articles, and that was fine. It was kind of soothing. But I never thought to myself, write children's books, because I am an adult and I am, I don't know what it is. Like, I just didn't think about, even though I love them, and I felt connected to those books, but it was like, so for some reason, I could not see that that was actually where my passion was. And it wasn't really until I was having a conversation with some moms, Black Muslim moms, talking about the lack of books. And I'd had this conversation before. It's interesting how Allah works, because I've had that conversation before. It never really triggered anything in me, right? But it was the right, it was all of the different elements coming to play, coming together to say, hey, I think I could write children's books. And then when I and once I said that to myself, once I, I felt that, then suddenly I had like a rush of ideas. I remember this moment very much. And I had like a rush of ideas where I was picturing different children in different situations, and I had to write them down. And it became like this really like a mission where I had to learn about children's books, organize my ideas, and start writing and writing. And that's really what it was. And I feel like with me, when it comes to my children's books, like it's always, I'm not really somebody who can just say to myself, I want to write a children's book. What can I write my idea about? I have to, it comes to me. It comes to me in different, from different things. Maybe my children say something that triggers something. Maybe I'm working with kids and they trigger something. Maybe I see something, and it pop, it comes to me and I have to write that down. And I think something I tell people a lot is that you have to stop and notice things, right? And if something grabs your attention, if something excites you, if something, and it's not, it seems random, like, why do I care about this? Stop and think about it, write about it. Because oftentimes that, for me, that's the source of my stories, is observing the world and stopping to notice, what is, really grabbing me. And with that, with my first, was starting to write picture books, it really was stopping to notice that, wait a minute, I do have children's book ideas.
Listen, Allahu Akbar, may Allah continue to, bless you with the ideas, the creativity, and, just that presence of mind, to notice, what's around you, right? So, I feel like, from listening to you, you're inspired by what's around you, and you're inspired, by the need to, provide that thing that the people that are around you need. And I would say that you love these people, right? So of course your family you love, right? But then even your students, and then the children that you see around you, community members that you see around you, you love them too. So just absolutely beautiful. Another thing that I know that you have that's recent, that I would love to know just a little bit more about. And I think that I think that the listener for the children's book author, that the up and coming Muslim woman children's book author, to know that these types of things are out there, because previously they weren't. So can you tell us a little bit more about the Doris Duke Highlights Foundation Muslim Storytellers Fellowship, and correct anything in that name because I know it's long, but why this project, and why is this project important now?
Doris Duke is a foundation that is sponsoring many projects for Muslims for getting that support Muslims. And Highlights Foundation, you might know the name, like Highlights Magazine, for example, for children. And so they it's they're sort of related, they're connected. The Highlights Foundation itself is a place up in the Poconos of Pennsylvania, where they teach all kinds of workshops, writing workshops for children and young adults. So they do children's books and young adult literature, and lots of really well-designed, comprehensive courses to teach the craft of writing for young people. And they decided that they wanted to actually support Muslim storytellers. So the Muslim Storytellers Fellowship is really about it's like providing programs and retreats, because this is what Highlights do. They have like writing retreats and things like that to Muslim storytellers, people who want to illustrate or write books for children. So that was really what the program is. And we're going to be meeting, hopefully, I don't know, because Omicron, but we're supposed to be doing retreats. We have certain programs open to the community as well. So the retreat is, or the fellowship is really supporting 16 Muslim creators right now, intensely in terms of giving them, program, different kinds of workshops and programs, and mentorship, that kind of thing. But they're also opening up, different events to Muslim creators in general who want to have voices in the conversation. And what we're trying to do is a few things. We're trying to change the way the publishing industry thinks about Muslim stories. Kind of going beyond that single Muslim story, right? And we're trying to give Muslim creators the know-how and also the connections to get into the industry and be successful in the industry. That's the big thrust of what that fellowship is.
Mashallah, beautiful. And Jazakallah khair for taking the time to explain that. So I know Highlights growing up. I mean, we were poor, but my mom, we got that magazine subscription every single month, and it was important. Like for us to receive that, it was like, yes. My mom was a English teacher, so you can tell, yeah. So you know why she had us. We had that subscription. Alhamdulillah, but. I think I've heard of also the Doris Duke Foundation as well. They do a lot of work with creative in the creative realm. So please I know the entries are done, right, for
Yeah,
that
it's
program,
done.
but go ahead.
No, it's, I said it's done, but there are different things. Like we just had a gather. Like there are different things we're opening up to the community, so that people can still get something out of it. We had 300 applicants for the program. Close to 300 applicants for the program, and we could only give 16 seats, which is like, it's because we so we understand, and I've been pushing with the Highlights Foundation, and with the fellows, that we're we definitely need to open up space for all of these Muslim creatives that are here, and that we don't have these seats, or these seats at the table. We don't have these spaces just so we can take up the space, right? Like that we are here, and that our goal is to kind of pull some more people into the space with us, because so that's the work that we want to continue doing. So definitely follow Highlights Foundation, you know, try to, you know, follow with what they have going coming on in, or happening, because we do want to definitely benefit a lot more Muslim creatives. We can see that the demand is there.
That's so beautiful. So you heard it here. So make sure that when you listen in or you tune it, you watch this a little bit later, that you make sure that you are following, and when an opportunity presents itself, that you are right on it. So I have a saying, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. So have that manuscript, start, following people like, Jamela and, just others like her, and, whatever tidbits, if they have a class or something like that, join the class, inshallah. So is there an ayah, quote, or hadith that governs your life?
So Surah Ma'un has always been special to me, and it does it. You know, sometimes I get very emotional, reciting that surah, thinking about that surah. So I mean, the concept of neighborly needs and caring about neighborly needs is very, I think that governs my life, right? That what is it that people need, and not doing things for show, right? Not doing things, but doing things for, to serve God. That's really important to me. So yeah, it would be that one that always centers me and brings me back. It's not about performing. It's not about doing things to look good. And that the one that doesn't believe is the one who prevents the feeding of the poor, right? Who prevents the taking care of the orphan, who prevents, the neighbor. So neighborly needs, it's all, that is, Dean is there, caring about the neighborly needs. So
MashaAllah, so beautiful. Listen, I haven't heard, I don't think I've recited Surah Ma'un in a while. You make me want to go and look that up and read the tafsir. So beautiful. And I think about, as a Muslim woman, and think about, starting the UNHD, and that was one of the things, doing the work for the work's sake, right? And the beauty of that is, right, so for us, we're doing the work for the work's sake, the people end up highlighting you. I think I saw on your page where one of your books is the number one bestseller. Which book is it?
Oh, you mean like Your Name Is a Song with
Your
on Amazon was a
And you know what I love
black
about
children's books.
that? Someone showed you. You put it up there and someone reminded you. And that right there speaks to exactly what you just said. So I think that that is absolutely beautiful, and congratulations. So please let them know what category was it in. Your name is a song, right? What
Yeah,
category
you
was it in that's number one?
black children's books. So black children's books was number one. Yeah, so
Mabruk, Mabruk,
that's
absolutely beautiful. May all of your books reach that status, and may we all come to
Amen.
know more of your work. Ameen, Allahumma, Ameen. So this is the Bossy Jabbypreneur podcast. So we ask every guest this question. And this is you. This is not what we think a bossy Jabbypreneur is, but what does it mean to you to be a bossy Jabbypreneur?
So for me, and I'm somebody who used to work for others, and now I just work for myself. And what has become very clear to me is it's really about serving no one but Allah, right? Like I'm answering to no one but Allah, right? Often, obviously, there's different pressures and different things, but I always come back to that you answer to Allah and the work that you do. And otherwise, you answer to no one. It's about the work you want to do. And so that's what that means to me.
MashaAllah, that's listen, we gotta give some snaps, for that one. That is absolutely beautiful. And there's a certain amount of confidence that that gives you, and freedom, confidence, and freedom that gives you, MashaAllah. So I normally end every single episode with an inspirational quote, and I thought that this particular quote was fitting, because of the work that you do. So this is is for you.